Now back to the Chrysler sale and to our email challenge. We asked you to tell us if there's a Chrysler car that you like and what kind of car you'd like to see Chrysler build now. You can call with your suggestions at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. We'll get to those in a minute. Dan Neal, the auto critic for the Los Angeles Times, joins us now. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Neil.
You've driven most of Chrysler's cars. What's your favorite?
Boy, I almost don't even have a favorite anymore. Well, you know, I'm real fond of my wife's 99 Jeep Cherokee.
Well, the Jeep line, I mean, that's an iconic image. Are Jeeps good cars?
Well, Jeep, the company's been busy dismantling this iconic image. You know, they were once known for these really rugged off-road vehicles, you know, the Wrangler. Now they have the Wrangler Unlimited, which is really, you know, very stout off-road. And, you know, if you climb rocks for fun, this is the car to have. But, you know, they have these much softer, much less sort of compelling crossover vehicles, the Patriot and the Compass, or we like to call them the Compatriot. And, you know, they have sort of made a travesty of this great iconic brand and image, and I think that really has hurt them.
Also, a lot of car that some people say they really like and that I understand has done well is the Chrysler 300.
Yeah, well, the Chrysler 300 was maybe Chrysler's last big out-of-the-park hit. You know, it was that big gangstery looking sedan, and with big grill, it's been really popular with young people. They've sold a lot of cars, but you know that was 4 years ago, right? And what has Chrysler done for us lately? They really have kind of a dearth of new products.
And the Ram trucks, those do well.
Yeah, you know what? I love the way they look. I mean, they look boss, and they've got that kind of macho grill, and they're very aerodynamic. They have done pretty well, but you know, again, that's one of the Chrysler's corporation's issues is that pickup trucks and SUVs have fallen off quite a bit, and taken this company with them a little bit.
Well, here's an email we got from Steve in Montclair. Best car ever, 65 Plymouth Valiant with a slant six. I had one of those in Mexico in the late 80s, early 90s. The place was teeming with them one time. A Mexican cop stopped me, not for the usual reason, but because he wanted to buy my beautiful Valiant. No se vende, I told him. I guess that's going back a little ways.
I think the man's a genius. You know, absolutely. It was a fantastic car. The Valiant was awesome.
Here's another email, this one from Richard. I'm a 37-year-old car owner of an import car shop. My family bought a 2004 Chrysler Pacifica in 2005. We love this vehicle. Dual climate control that works, 4 heated seats, navigation in front with a driver, all-wheel drive, power tailgate, an excellent audio system with a rear DVD, wireless headsets that lets those in front listen to what we want to. Decent mileage, side curtain airbags, the third seats fold down for the dogs to go to work, comfortable for 6. America can build a great vehicle if they try.
Except that vehicle was largely engineered by Daimler Chrysler and Mercedes. You know, is that is actually one of those vehicles that reflected the long sought after synergy between Daimler Chrysler and Chrysler Corp. You know, and it was a good vehicle. It wasn't very space efficient, but it was a very likable and is a very likable vehicle, and no question about it. Again, that was the sort of vehicles that they were expecting to have a lot more of.
Mm-hmm. Are there any of Chrysler's line that you think the new owners ought to take quietly around the back of the plant and put out of their misery?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm not crazy about the Dodge Caliber and the Nitro. Both of these cars feel unbelievably cheap and awful. They feel like they're made of recycled milk jugs. And they just there's just no they just don't generate any kind of love or affection. And so, yeah, I think those definitely should be dispatched. You know, interestingly, Chrysler has a new generation of minivans coming out. And minivans, you know, town and country, those sort of things, caravan, they're really good. They're really space efficient. They're actually much better at the job people want crossovers to do. So my argument is minivans are a good bet if indeed the public will respond to them. Because when you compare point for point, performance for performance, a minivan beats a crossover of similar size and cost every time.
Let's see if we get some callers on the line. Terry's with us. Terry calling from Minnesota.
Hi, Neil. This is my kind of show.
Oh, good.
Hey, I like that 300 myself, and maybe your guest could talk about, I believe it's the Crossfire, just a really sharp little two-door. But I was telling your screener, I'll tell you right now, I'm 53 years old, and what I really miss, is an old Charger with a 440 six-pack and a Muncie four-speed. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, baby.
That seat so tight, you'd never reach that $100 bill.
That's a strange test of performance, isn't it?
I think so.
Right. Well, you know, go ahead, Neil.
Well, I was just going to say, but what about that Chrysler Crossfire that he was talking about?
Well, again, Chrysler Crossfire was the last generation of the Mercedes-Benz SLK, rebodied and re-engineered a little bit. And it was a nice car. But it was kind of a redo or a rehash, if you want to be pejorative, of this Mercedes. And then they built this the SRT version of the Crossfire, which is a really big engine. Very good car and a very beautiful car, you know, really nice. But along with the Pacifica, that was the sort of the idea going into the merger with Daimler Chrysler, and they never really capitalized on those opportunities.
Mm. Thanks for the call, Terry, and hold on to your wallet.
Yeah, and may I just say that the Charger with the 440 and the four-speed Muncie, yeah, that's all good, you know. But you can't build a car like that anymore because it, you know, burns gas like an Iraqi retreat, and it pollutes like crazy, and it's just, you know, bad.
Here's an email from Andrew Hayden in Newburyport in Massachusetts. The best Chrysler ever I owned. 25 years ago, I found a used 1969 Imperial with a 440 cubic inch engine for my father, the actor Sterling Hayden. He named it Boomer. This car was as big and comfortable as a house, beautifully constructed. Chrysler has kept building this type of vehicle in the form of SUVs and luxury trucks. Crazy in today's world. Sad to say, but I think Chrysler is done for.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's done for, but do you know where those vehicles are very, very popular? Demolition derbies. If you have a 70 or a 71 Chrysler Newport, you pretty much can win any demolition derby in any dirt track in Florida.
Let's get Lisa on the line. Lisa calling from Detroit. Lisa, you there? I think Lisa has left us. So let's try to go to Al. Al's with us from Albany, Georgia.
Hello.
Hi, Al.
I'm not sure I'm up to speed with your talk of Chrysler in specific, but I have a vision of a nation, you know, where we can put the 18-wheeler freight on trains and just all drive little four-cylinder, good gas mileage cars. Do you think Chrysler would be into that?
Is Chrysler going to go in that direction, do you think, Dan Neal?
Well, you know, that's another sort of a big hole in the lineup, right? Do they have a small a subcompact car? They used to have the Neon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah, the Neon was a really, really terrific little car. You know, was it perfect? No. But it was replaced in the lineup, Dodge lineup, by the Caliber. Which is this crossover, boxy crossover thing. You know, where is the smart, fuel-efficient, small car, easy to park, easy to own, fun to drive in this lineup?
What I'm saying is that the 18-wheelers are keeping us off the road. We're scared of them.
Well, that the disparity of vehicle size in the United States is a huge problem, ongoing, because who wants to, you know, drive a tiny little car? I just drove the smart car, you know, the Mercedes smart car, the tiny little car. And I mean, it's very lovable in lots of ways, but I felt that I was in grave danger.
Well, I just remember that old New Yorker cartoon with the guy standing in the crosswalk and the car wrapped around his legs, and he looks down and asks the driver, "Are you okay?" Al, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks so much.
So long. Let's see if we can go to this is Matt. Matt's with us from Salem, Ohio.
Hello.
Is this Salem, Ohio or Salem, Oregon?
Salem, Ohio.
Okay, go ahead then.
I sold cars 8 years. I sold Chryslers. And I know there's a lot of cars in the old days that people would like to see. Of course, we all would. But two of the biggest things that I found, I sold from 95 to 2005, that the Dodge Neon in my area and the Dodge Intrepid are two cars that were selling up until the bitter end. And it seems like whenever I've gone and looked at cars. Now, I'm out of the car business now. Me and my girlfriend go and look at cars. She's in the market. The Dodge Charger and the Dodge Magnum that replaced the Intrepid, they really haven't taken off. And the Intrepid would probably be something that she would want to get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the only comment I want to make, and I'll let you guys go. In the area I live in, they have a demolition derby in Lisbon, Ohio all the time. And the actual 71 to 73 Imperials are outlawed. You can't even use them because exactly what that man said.
Is that right?
That's exactly
right. So it's
right
like...
there. In this area, they are outlawed. They don't want people to fool me. You cannot use a 71 to 73 Imperial in a derby down here. So you're right about what you said.
Yeah, no, that's like, you know, I mean, when you talk about lead sleds, those cars were just ginormous. And, I mean, they'll knock you through the stadium wall.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Good show.
Thanks very much for the call, Matt.
Bye.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. We just have a couple of seconds. Lowell is on the line from Philadelphia. Go ahead, Lowell.
Yes, how you doing? I'm a Chrysler man. Been driving for 41 years now, since 1966, and I've had some pretty, you know, dependable cars. And I was just kind of sorry they stopped making the LH models. I think that to me, they were the best engineered cars ever made in this country. And I had right now I have two. A 93 Concord and a 99 300M.
Mm-hmm.
But that Concord, that's got over 130-some thousand miles, right? And I've had it almost 7 years. I only bought used cars anyway. And that car is terrific as far as being reliable and all.
Well, we keep hearing, thanks for the call, Lowell, and we keep hearing these pay-ins to the great Chryslers of the past. Dan Neal, quickly, do you think Chrysler has it in them to build cars that people have that much affection for in the future?
Well, that is a big question mark. The cars that they're talking about, the LH model cars, they were the product of a big idea, right? These were cab-forward cars with transverse V6 motors that were very sophisticated for their time, and they sold really well. And now, you know, Chrysler doesn't seem to have as much vision. I think the merger has been really debilitating in terms of the aspirations of the company, the imagination of the company. I think it's hemmed them in. I expect eventually that Chrysler will emerge from the other side of this and do better, but it's a long road ahead.
Dan Neal, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Dan Neal, automobile critic for the Los Angeles Times. He won the 2004 Pulitzer for criticism. He joined us today from the studios of the Times in Los Angeles. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.